All right, everybody, welcome to the Quorum Sense podcast, a very special episode of the Quorum Sense podcast where I'm joined by not so much a farmer this time, instead, a film producer. Claire McKenzie is the producer of a film which we're actually hosting a screen or a series of screening events for called 6 Inches of Soil. Let's start with getting the audience familiar and related to you. Can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, Donald. Thanks for having me on. I am Claire McKenzie. I'm producer of 6 Inches of Soil. We've been making this film for, started the project about 3.5 years ago, and finally it's released. Hooray! Totally independent documentary. And I've done it alongside a lovely team, but primarily with the director, Colin Ramsay. But we're based in Cambridge in Britain, in England. So quite a long way away from you guys. Sadly, we are. Well, we're coming into spring. Today was sunny, and we've had a very wet winter. And our farmland is being intensely flooded. And I believe you're the opposite.
Let's go back to the beginning. What had you start this project? What had you think, right, I need to make a film about soil?
Yeah, good question. Started with an organization here in Cambridge that I'm with, which is environmental group, looking at the climate change issues. And so I decided I wanted to explore agriculture. So first of all, did a project in Cambridgeshire. We filmed it, the director and I, Colin. We had funding from the local council, and that was quite just there are a bunch of 5 case studies, so they're good. Actually, it was more engaging than we thought for people, but it was mainly done for farmers, environmentalists, but actually ecologists locally in Cambridgeshire. But actually, people outside it showed an interest, and it went down really well. And because it was COVID, we showed it on a webinar, and we had hundreds of people. And when it finished, we were like, I think this is quite a big topic and really, really important. So let us do a bigger version of it. And we've been inspired by things like Kiss the Ground, and other things like Carbon Cowboy and other footage coming out of America and Australia, particularly. And then we decided to do a British version of it because there aren't that many films and episodes beyond our glorious BBC kind of country file that tells true stories of farming. We obviously have Jeremy Clarkson, which some of you may have seen, which is very funny and tells it, and it has been brilliant. But we wanted to go a bit further, and obviously we wanted to shine a light on soil and regenerative farming. So that's how it started.
Tell me some of the reactions that you've been getting. I mean, I've read some, quite emotional. Tell us some of the sort of standout reactions that you've had from the film, because it must be heartwarming for you.
Yeah, it's blown our minds. Someone like Fran Bailey, who works with you guys, was one of the first people I ever spoke to, and she was like, "Yeah, it sounds good, Claire." And you kind of think, "Okay, is this going to happen? Are we actually going to make it?" And having all these crowdfunders, we did 2 crowdfunders, other private fundraising. We funded it really ethically. We funded it, and we also had the support of farmers and groups like Fran and others that said to us from the beginning, "Yeah, story needs to be told." So we knew it could be good, but we did not know that it was going to be emotionally affect people so much. We kind of felt like it would tell the story. People might understand that, soil's important. Understand the practices of regenerative farming, but we had no idea that people were going to have this kind of heartfelt reaction. So the first one was when it went to a very, very small screening at COP28. We couldn't say no to it. The film actually hadn't completely been finished. It was just now in November, but we basically still had some like music and stuff to finish off, but it went anyway, and it was shown to a small crowd. And the one lovely woman that kind of hosted it, she sent 2 videos over, and one guy was from Nigeria, and he basically just said, "Wow, I've never really thought about farming before. This has really affected me. All I want to go do now is go back to Nigeria and be an advocate for farmers." So we were like, okay, this is good. And then we went to Oxfordville Farming Conference and did the massive kind of reveal on the 4th of January to the British crowd. They're the discerning crowd that are really into farming with nature, organic farming, regenerative farming, etc. And that was truly awesome. And the room was packed to the rafters, and huge, you know, applause, and it was incredible because we had loads of people been in the film in there, including Satish Kumar, who's this, you know, amazing advocate for soil and farming. And it was just really emotional. People were coming up and wanting to do screenings and just lots of really cool stuff. And then there've been people outside of that community. I think that's been particularly like a one thing that has happened is a cinema chain here called Picture House have taken it, and their head of the it's called a green screen program. She doesn't know this subject, but she was really affected by it, and she said this story needs to be told. So it's reactions like that have just been awesome, and I could go on because we've had loads of gorgeous feedback. But yeah, we were really, really excited and very grateful. So.
Well, that in itself, Claire, you know, like having people aware of the benefits of soil health, you know, where else are people going to get this? You know, people don't just stumble upon this stuff if they're not already in, you know, the nature of social media algorithms and, you know, social silos and things like that. So, yeah, what a wonderful way to raise awareness about a subject that wouldn't otherwise, you know, be in the spotlight. But maybe I'm wrong, but like, what is the kind of regenerative natural farming conversation like in the UK at the moment, or around your area?
So I think it's definitely grown in the last 3 years. And I think one reason for that is the subsidy change. So we've gone from the, you know, bog standard subsidies, that farmers were getting all attached to the European Union, to now people are actually having to farm for their soil, for the waterways, for the air, and you know, plant hedgerows back in and all of these things. And so farmers are actually beginning to look at it, whether they want to or not, you know, it's something that's happening. I still would say that the one thing that has come out, and I'm sure you guys have the same, is people are a bit wary about the term regenerative farming, and that they will say, some people will say, oh, it's greenwashing and it's been co-opted by big companies, but others will say, well, I've always been a regenerative farmer, I look after my land, don't have a go at me, what I'm doing works, and they could still be carrying on with business as usual. So there's a mixture, but I definitely think there's a rise, and I definitely more of the organizations that we're aligned with, so like Nature Friendly Farming Network and places like Pasture for Life, who, you know, the cattle with the livestock, etc. Think their memberships are going up, so that tells, and there are a lot of people attending courses. But what we have, probably like you, is we have a gap of how to get people to transition. We don't have enough support, we don't have enough funding to help people through this sort of transition period, and don't have enough people trained in it to help. So, but there are more agronomists coming over, but I did find out recently that 70% of our agronomists here in the UK are still attached to big ag companies and big chemical companies. And so while you still got that, and if those companies aren't genuinely buying into it, then you know, that the problem. And the other big issue, I think, is our government is flip-flopping all over the shop. We're about to have an election, so they now look like they're sucking up to the farmers, and they have put more money into the pot to help with the environmental land management scheme, which is going to help farmers, you know, farm better for nature. But equally, they're putting a hell of a lot of money into innovation, which is great because a lot of regenerative farms are using machinery, using GPS, etc. But what they're looking at is the sort of the silver bullets of, like, whether it's vertical farming or robots. And so they don't have that long-term vision. And I would say that's kind of where we're at the moment. But our film, what we want to get people, because most people on the ground have no idea what regenerative agriculture means. And that's been really good in the film. But when people don't, you know, a person will say, I want to buy that food that has that regenerative label. We don't have that label, but at least I now understand what people are talking about when they talk about regenerative farming.
There's two things running through my head at the moment. One is that it sounds to me like the film is, I would sort of describe it as being not so much about blame and finger pointing and encouragement with the stick, if that makes sense. Instead, it's more of a carrot. It's more of a, here's some options to move forward with. It's something to, you know, it sounds to me like solution focused, which kind of takes all of the blame and shame out of it, because a lot of the hurdles that we're dealing with especially with, you know, New Zealand farmers can be stubborn, you know, put that out there. And it, if you want to make those farmers dig their heels in, make them feel bad about what they're doing. And so what I'm loving about this film is it's solution focused, and people leave, from what I've heard from people that have seen the film, like inspired to take action. I mean, you described a man before who couldn't wait to go home and sink his teeth into some farming. The second thing that I want to now dive into conversationally, and it's a point in itself. Like, I love the kind of inspiration through conversation. It's not a statement of like, here's something. It's a process. It's like a doing. It's something that is dynamic and continually changing. And so with that, when we bring it back to the consumer, how do you think, Claire, we can offer new market possibilities for farmers when it's not as clear-cut as, let's say, organics, where it's like, here's a list of rules that you have to abide by, and you abide by those rules, you get the sticker. This style of farming and way of being and thinking is a lot bigger than a list of things you can or cannot do. How do we get that over the line, do you think?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, actually. In this country, and Fran has probably talked to, I don't know if you guys have heard about Wild Farmed, but there are companies out there who are trying to do that very thing, and they do it in a very kind of funky, awesome way, obviously with people at the top who people know from television and music, but, you know, obviously Andy's now fantastic farmer. So there's those ways of captivating people, and there are other products coming on board. But I think the main thing, that's one reason we did the film, is to try and navigate this. And it is really, really hard, and people will, without that. But the one good thing about not having certification is that it's inviting more people in, I think, which is really, really great. And so that is what, when people can understand vaguely the notions of it, and when they can start to understand, I mean, I have it when I go out onto a field, and we hope that in the film will help people with this. If I'm out locally in my village and I walk around here, I live rurally, I can now start to recognize what's going on, or question what's going on, or worry what's going on when you've got flooding, when if it had been regeneratively farmed, it might have been more resilient and diverse. So it's helping people in that group. So I'm hoping with more products coming on with maybe a regenerative label can help, and with it an explanation. And probably it's the other thing that we've seen is another brand here called Homodods, and they have beans, and they have the farmer's name on it, and they have where it comes from and a bit about how they farmed. It might be organic, or they might just say this has been agroecologically grown, regeneratively grown. And so it's communication like that that thing helps the people. I think definitely when you're buying a product, if it's got a description on, there's another flower brand here who are one of our partners, Matthews, and they are branding up as well. And I think that just takes people to the next level. And obviously, if it goes into our supermarkets, we're slightly fighting with that. Obviously, in the film, we're suggesting that we'd hope that another market comes out of it. And perhaps that's with more and more farmers coming on board, and maybe farmers that we have here, we have cluster groups, people coming together and selling together locally, or creating regional food, then that again will help people understand this type of farming and food.
Oh, my goodness, the impacts of that. Like the impacts of consumers making decisions based on a larger picture than what's the cheapest option, what looks the best. And it's going to take something from consumers too. Like, in order to be able to kind of investigate what food is good food, you kind of need a bit of a background understanding. And a film like this could be just that. I mean, do you think that we could see change based on consumer decision?
No, wouldn't that be great?
It's like another form of incentive that all of a sudden people are screaming and shouting that this is what they want. And I've always believed that, you know, farmers will do what's wanted and needed. We're that kind of people, you know?
Yeah, and we've watched that. We've watched farmers being told what to do, you know, take your hedgerows out, now being told to put it back. And I think supermarkets will say that. We had it recently here with a guy called Marcus Rashford, a famous footballer, who said, I want free school meals. And so with him, he ran a campaign and he got all the, you know, people, consumers, citizens. And with that pressure, they then put that on the government, but they also had food companies involved as well. And so you can, if you get enough of it, but, and I think at the moment we're tied into it, as you will be, is a, you know, there's a crisis now with people not being able to afford good food. So they can afford ultra processed foods, but not good food. And that needs to change. And that probably has to come from a government. And some people say no, but if you're going to put the other thing, a lot of people are saying, is if it goes into schools, universities, hospitals, and things like prisons, and so your procurement changes, that's when people are going to start to see it. And you see that in Sweden and in Italy. They have, like, I think they have to have 50% of school food has to be organic. So already people are knowing, on the, they understand on the ground, and that's the kind of thing you want to see. And then they will start to push for it, like, we want this, we need change. But we've got a lot of campaigning going on here. We've got Henry Dimbleby in the film. He's doing huge campaigning at the moment with another doctor here who's brilliant, television doctor. And they are pushing, like, to get food companies to stop being so dominant with their ultra-processed food, you know, that we need to change the whole system. And it's people like them, you know, you'd hope could make a difference. And then all of us are clambering. But you do worry at the moment, and you probably have the same, everyone says, oh, it's fine for the white middle class people who are pushing for this food. But, you know, if you're a single mum and you're tired at the end of the day, you're going to go to the frozen shop and get that food, and you do not have a choice. But genuinely, hand on heart, do people want to have these long term health issues and obesity, etc.? No, of course they don't. We've got creaking systems. So that's when we need to call for change. So let's hope.
And, like, what are the impacts of everyone knowing a farmer? You know, when you talked about the mother who's, you know, just trying to feed her children, right now all she has access to is the supermarket. There's no wiggle room in the supermarket. It is what it is. Whereas if you know a farmer, you know, all of a sudden you've got another market you've got access to. And I would assert that for most farmers, there's kind of, like, often different currencies, different ways of operating. You know, it might be that someone offers a day's work for a vegetable box or a meat box. You know, there's so many options out there, all of which are taking people out of the concrete jungles and immersing them in nature, which is, I mean, what would that do to a population if all of a sudden they felt connected to the source of their food?
Yeah, totally. I mean, we have in the film, we have Anna, who's arable farmer, Ben livestock, so he's selling directly. Anna, it's harder, isn't it, for when you're arable, because you're then, you know, it's part of the wider market, and, you know, then there's grain traders, etc. So, but we're seeing it with Adrienne in the film as a market gardener, and so we have a serious issue in Britain where horticulture is underfunded. But one of the solutions is people are saying, look, someone like Adrienne is on the edge of Cambridge. She's got access to a very big market. So her communication is always direct. So it's either a market, it's going through a box scheme, it's an office. She wants to do, as you say, a community supported agriculture scheme. And that with that comes people coming onto the farm. And every time you buy from her, she's there and her story's on it. And so she's got so much demand now. And that's what we should be seeing. And then it became more affordable for people as well. But when we filmed with kids on her farm, and these kids were like, we thought the kids, there was only one kid that wanted to eat white bread, but the other kids really wanted to try and be, and they were like going, oh, this tastes better. And they were so delighted to have like the hands in worms. And these kids don't normally get access. They were kids from a school that are in a city, and they don't get access normally to farms. And that's when you see the power of what you were saying, Jono, of getting people on the farm and connecting with the someone that grows the food. It's really cool. So.
What, and children, like, we haven't touched on that. Like, is the film gonna be, is it gonna get children excited? Like, is it, do you think it's something that the whole family can come along and see, Claire?
Yes, it can. Bit hesitant because we had a 12-year-old in one of the first screenings on the farm, Anna's farm, the arable farm, and it was her cousin, and he's 12, and he said, I really liked it, but I got a wee bit anxious with the talk about climate change when it became a bit serious. And so obviously, it's got a rating that anyone can go to, but it's an hour and a half with the kids. But yeah, I would equally, the director's kids, my kids have seen it, so yes, they can. And I think it would be brilliant, and then to go back and discuss it. But what we are looking at doing is perhaps having a shorter one that can go into classrooms. So, and that might be the one, that could be really, really accessible for lots of kids as well. So.
Can you just run us through the farmers that are on this film? You briefly touched on, but just for the people listening to this, you mentioned Anna, arable farmer. Just very brief on each of the featured farmers. Who are they and what are they up to?
Yeah, so Anna is in a place called Lincolnshire. So it's very flat, east, classic arable countryside. It's on the end of a town called Scunthorpe. So it's quite a harsh setting, but it's quite cool, amazing contrast with the steelworks in the background and then their farm. And they have brought sheep in for the rotation to help regenerate the land. When you see it in the film, the sheep are very much at the beginning of their journey there. So now, 2 years later, she's got them, in across all the crops and across the farmland. So that's great. And then she's farming with her dad, so that relationship's adorable. That's the funny bit of the film. They're the kind of comedy act. And then you come down to near us in Cambridgeshire, which again is in the east. And that's a really cool story because Adrienne is a market gardener, but she's on a regenerative arable farm, and so that's really amazing. So you see that relationship with the landlord. So he's basically invited her in, and you see an agroforestry project they're doing together. So that's great. And then you go to the southwest, so you get the different weather, different settings, and that's very, very beautiful farm. It's the livestock farmer, and that's Ben, and he's got Buzzy Galloway, and they are there for conservational, but he does mob grazing with them, and he has but he they all work elsewhere as well. To well, they have been. I think Adrienne this year is going to try and work full time at the farm, but you see that coming in, that they all need to supplement their income, which is a big sad story, and I'm sure you guys have the same. And then we take them on a journey, and they go meet some mentors, and that's very much part of the regenerative principle, isn't it? The whole what we love about the regenerative community is that they seem to work together. It's a bit less of looking over the fence and saying, why are you doing that? There's a bit more of coming together and learning and workshops, and that so we show that sharing of knowledge from some more experienced farmers. And then we have some talking heads as well, who are we brought in to talk about system problems and change. So
On the point of kind of multi-generation farming, we're hearing a lot all around the world around there being less family farms, especially small family farms. Is there a sort of a, are you seeing that in the UK? Are there more corporate farms and farms being sort of merged together into these big kind of things and less of the sort of successional intergenerational family farm?
Yeah, sadly, I think the average farm is still a couple of hundred acres. So small, medium, but yes, absolutely right. So the crisis here is that not farmers are in a bad state. You know, I've heard of lots of farmers recently, particularly about livestock farming. And then the farmland is then bought up probably by a big land owner. That could be a farming entity, or it could just be for houses. We see quite a lot near that, which is quite depressing. So yes, sadly, we are seeing it. There's one particularly big, Dyson. It's getting bigger by the day. So, I think there's a huge call to protect those small and medium-sized family farms. And there's a huge, it is sad. And you hear Anna say, like, her dad told her not to come back to the farm. And you hear endless people, the average age of a farmer is like 59 here, saying to their kids, I just don't think there's any future for you here. But again, a lot of them are diversifying as well. They might even contract out the farming, and then they might do other like holiday lets or something on their farm. So there's a lot of that going on too. But it's tough. It's tough. It's not. So that's one. I think that's the other reason this film's been so popular, is it's got this huge sense of hope, and it's got, as you say, it's solution based. And also it shows the true side of farming, which I think people really need to connect with farming. We're all so disconnected. My grandpa was a farmer. I was brought up rurally, so it's always been part of my kind of life. But for those that don't, I think they get a shock that actually farmers can be quite fun and entertaining, like they are in the film, but also human, and also that they really care about where and how they farm. And I think a lot of people don't understand that.
Internationally, it seems like farmers have been getting kind of a bad rap, like kind of being the enemy when we're talking, whether it be about, environmental concerns, animal welfare concerns, like, and most of which sadly is seemingly based on industrial ag, which, doesn't feature heavily in this film, I'm sure. But the cool thing about this is it's like, I hear a lot of stories of before it even gets to the point where, let's say, the 50-plus-year-old farmer's kind of making the decision for his children, almost to say, "Don't do it, don't come, there's no place for you, or we can't afford it." Maybe something underneath it's always like, "I don't want you to go through what I've been through." And to flip that from the child's perspective, when you're looking at your parents struggle to meet the modern day demands of farming and of what it takes to run a family, you can understand the lack of kind of interest, in fact, even possibly a bit further than that, is to say it would just put most young people off. Do you think with this, this kind of, because it is a total shift in the way farmers operate when you're going from being told what you have to do, all of which is kind of taking you away from the land, making you more disconnected, having, less, literally less feet on the ground, to farmers getting excited again and getting curious again and coming home and like excited about what they've learned and shared. And I'm not saying this is easy stuff either. I'm not going to over kind of beautify this picture, but there are elements of beauty in it. Do you think that we can see through this movement more interest in young folk, Claire?
Absolutely, massively, and I think more women as well. So we've got quite a lot of women in our film. And also other people from different ethnicities, and that's been really cool. It's highlighted brilliantly here. I don't know if you've been to Groundswell, but Groundswell is our farming festival of joy. Like, and there's lots of ag shows, but this one is more like a festival. So it's in Hertfordshire, not far from here. And when you go there in June, it's got bigger every year. We've done three, and every year there's another X amount, 1,000 more people. And there's so many sessions, so much to learn, but there's so much sharing, and there's so much, it sounds a bit naff or a bit, but there's a lot of joy in the on the field. And that for me, that for all of us as having made this film, I think that's when we got really captivated, because we were like, wow, these guys are this. There were a lot of older generation there who were kind of saying, I have and it happened with the first film we did. We filmed with this guy saying, I've farmed one way for the rest of my life, but for the last 7 years, I've been regenerating my soul and I have completely rejuvenated myself, regenerated his self, his farm, his community. And you see that at these farming events, and when you go and talk to these farmers, and I do genuinely believe, and I think that's one reason we told the story, is we were like, this is awesome, you know, this is a really positive and special place to be. And yeah, you see it in the film with Anna's dad, and she says to him, oh, you've been going quietly regen. And basically he's been loving it. He loves reading books. He's, you know, Gabe Brown is the one that's referenced in the book, in the film. But he, you know, he's quietly making up compost teas and all this stuff is going on, but he's gone real geek on it. You ask him one question and you're down the down the tunnel. And it's the same with, you know, Ben was brought up on with his dad's part, and I met his parents the other day at a screening. It was really beautiful. And when we film with his dad's not in the film, but his dad said, I'm a climate change denier sort of thing, I don't believe in it, but actually there's something has changed in his dad since that was filmed, I think, about a year and a half ago. I wasn't on that shoot, but then he was there the other day and I could see the pride when he was watching the film, because he hadn't seen it yet. And watching Ben talk so knowledgeably about his mob grazing and what it's doing for the soil and, you know, the herbal lays he's planted and how he's creating a market and all of this. And his dad, I could just see him beaming. And when I first met him, he was very like, quiet. And by the end of it, I went up to him and he just was like, and his mum was crying. And I just thought, wow, you know, this is a family being regenerated. And apparently his dad started changing the way he's working with his cattle as well. So that's just a perfect example.
What do you think, or what do you expect or hope that farmers who watch this film get from the film? What do you hope farmers get?
We have always from the beginning hoped that those maybe some skeptics that find that, so I mean, it's still over here, probably the same with you. It's sometimes called woo-woo, like, you know, hippie farming. And I'm hoping that some people that are a bit inquisitive but haven't dipped in yet would watch it with respect and actually say they're not lecturing, they're not saying it's the only way forward. They are talking about it taking 7 years, that they might be delighted and might want to have that. I think we spoke to the maker of Kiss the Ground and he said it's when it's a heartfelt change and not just the head. And so you'd help that there's some mindset change. And Nicole Masters says that, she's in the film, you know, it's when the mind goes, when the mindset happens, that's when the change is. So you take your first step, whether it's reading a book, whether, you know, watching a film, then reading a book, or talking to someone that knows about it, working within a farm cluster. That's what we really, really, really hope. And then if you're a non-farmer, you just want to hope that, you know, that you want to know farmers, you want to communicate, and you want to unlock, and you want to touch soil. So, you know, those are the kind of two extremes. But we really hope that farmers, so far, and we've shown it to a lot of farmers now, but our only struggle is, and I hope that you guys manage it in New Zealand. I think, so someone told me the other day that they invited four farmers who aren't yet on this, in this space, and they didn't come. And that I just hope that we see more, but that doesn't keep happening. And I hope we do eventually get, well, it would be great if we have someone like the NFU screened it over here. Then we might see more, well, let's call them conventional farmers watching it. But I think most people have been delighted. And to begin with, I think we did a test screening. They were a bit worried that it was going to put people off. But we've also worked really, really hard with partners and with complete experts in this field to help create the story as it is. So.
So no tie-dye shirts, no dream catchers hanging around. You know, let's go forward 10 years or so into the future. What would have you sit back in 10 years' time and say, man, that was so worth it? you know, all that time, all that effort, because I guarantee you it's not been easy. What for you would have you sit back and say, I'm so glad I did that?
Yeah, I think if we genuinely saw a change, so that I think in this country, if you could have the words regenerative farming and agroecology actually embedded into policy, because at the moment it's not. If you could see the support and the change from big companies, etc., coming on board, and that we could see these small farms and family farms actually be nurtured, and that regional kind of workings together, and that you get more of these farm cluster groups and people are being brought in as a movement. I think if this movement could just keep growing, then we could say, wow, we were part of that conversation at least. I mean, obviously, if the film, it will be dated by then. If people could still look back, like people talk about Kiss the Ground, if people could talk about 6 inches of soil like Kiss the Ground, then I would be very, very happy. And I would also hope, really, I think personally, we've made a lot of friends in this journey, and we're still really close to all the farmers. And that's a pretty mega thing, because when you're filmmakers and you're asking people to take time to prep, to come on, to spend, farmers don't have that much time, but they gave us time, and then reshoot this, say that again, whatever, and then come on a podcast and say hello to the newspaper, and we're still all getting on really well, and we still all have a laugh. And if we can still, as a group, be it the crew and the people we've filmed with, still be friends and still be part of the regen community, then I really will think it's been all 100% worthwhile.
The final question I want to throw at you, hopefully you catch it. What would you say to someone, or it could be a family of farmers who have just heard about this kind of regen agroecological way of farming? What would you say to the person who's just pricked their ears up to this kind of new way of doing things?
Have faith, work with other people. Sorry, I know I keep saying, but the community aspect is so, so important, and that support is there. Keep walking your land, dig holes, test it, smell the soil. That's what we did every time we went out, we smell that soil. And it really does smell sweet when it's healthy, and when it's not, it smells either not very much, or it can smell a little bit off. So, and stop and listen, observe, and trust in your instincts, and be bold, because it's not easy, and we know that. Yeah, just try and work with others on it, and don't be alone. And I think that's, I'm sure, what you guys are doing, and we're seeing a lot of good groups over here. And join any organizations that support you. Membership organizations, most of them seem to be, well, over here they're very affordable. Look to others the whole time. That's definitely what I would say.
For anyone who's listening to this and you've just listened to this podcast fresh off the press, we are still open for anyone to host their own screening of this film. And so we're doing what we're calling a film festival. And you have to forgive me, this is all sort of new stuff for me. But the concept is all across the country, we're going to have communities screening this film at the same time. So it's kind of like everyone will be watching it together, and there's going to be farmer panel Q&As. There's going to be almost like if you go to a concert, you get to watch a warm-up act. There's going to be like warm-up film footage to watch, some awesome New Zealand film footage, and a panel at the end in each area of farmers who are local to you and your area. So if you're interested in hosting a screening, and perhaps you've got some farmers in your community that you think would be awesome to sit up on a panel for the screening to handle some questions, get in contact, please, with Fran. That's fran@quorumsense.org.nz. And as Claire mentioned, you know, getting involved in a community, Quorum Sense in New Zealand is your go-to place for being part of community discussions and discussion groups and field days. If you're interested in joining a discussion group local to you, get in contact with Sue at quorumsense.org.nz. Sue Cumberworth is who you want to talk to there. She's fantastic at helping people create groups, because this is the way that, you know, farmers really move forward with velocity, sharing with each other, learning off each other. I mean, that to me is the gold. So any final words, Claire, before we end this podcast?
Yeah, go see the film, put it on, even if it's a small group. Don't be put off by your tech. Just get that film on your laptop and get screen it up on your telly. But yeah, definitely enjoy the panel discussions. We found the Q&As afterwards being phenomenal. And that's when you see proper discussions. And then I would think about local actions, whether you want people to go to a certain farm to buy it or join a farming group or whatever. I would definitely engage people in the next step. But just want to thank you all very much for listening, and I hope you guys all enjoy it. And maybe we could make a New Zealand version.
Absolutely. We've got plenty of farmers who would be willing to share their journeys, that's for sure. Claire, thank you so much for your time this evening. I'm going to let you get back to your beautiful family, and I look forward to catching up with you after the film festival and we get these farmers on and have a follow-up discussion.
Thank you very much.